About to begin a new sugya, so the sugya does begin with some of the things that we've been talking about in the past, in terms of bittul b'shishim, but it's going to quickly become a sugya that's very, very relevant to kol ta'akula. It's going to go out of the realm of some of the intricacies of chul that we've been talking about, and touch on some very basic sugyas that touch on many, many areas of shas. The sugya begins with the first of the mamakamos. We're going to pick it up really a little bit in the middle of the sugya, the second line of the mamakamos, the first of the mamakamos, second line. How palga de zeis of the tarva? So there was a half of a kezias of chaylev, the nafal b'dikula de bisra. It fell into a dikula de bisra. Even the word dikula is not clear what that means. Is it referring to a pot? Is it referring to a basket of meat? And there are important nafkaminas ladina, but that's not really part of our sugya. But the bottom line is that there was a half a kezias of chaylev that got mixed into something. So if you would have asked me, I would have said, okay. So what's the difference? Half a kezias, whole kezias, five kezias. The bottom line is you have to figure out what the ratio is and figure out if you have shishim or not. So the Gemara is a startling havamina. Sava marbar of Ashi l'shurei betlosin palgei d'zeisa. So marbar of Ashi, the son of Rav Ashi, thought that the way to be mishar, the way to calculate whether we have enough kosher food in this pot or in the basket, whatever it is, to be mevatel, that little bit of chaylev, is whether you have 30 times or not. So all of a sudden, the magic number 60 got cut in half. So if you have 30 half kezesim, so that's good enough. So Amalei Avua, so his father, Rav Ashi, said to him, that no, you have the wrong number. The number is shishim. Now, why in the world did he even think in the first place that shloshim was good enough? We never heard of such a thing. So from his father's response to him, we can understand what his son was thinking. So Amalei Avua, his father, Rav Ashi, said to his son, Lava minalach lo tezalzo b'shirin derabanan. He said, haven't I told you before, giving a little musa to his son, haven't I told you not to take lightly shiurim derabanan? Now, what does it mean, shiurim derabanan? So here, the Rishon HaKook to point out, it's clear for the context of the Gemara what it means as follows. Don't take lightly isurim derabanan. Don't think that, well, when it comes to isurim deraisa, then you require shishim. And when it comes to isurim derabanan, then we could chop the number in half. Maybe it's only the Rabbanan anyway, we can say whatever we want. Maybe Chazal said that half of the amount of shishim is also good enough. So his father said, don't say such a thing. So that clearly is what his son thought. Now, why did his son think that this is only a Nisa de Rabbanan? Chaylev is a Nisa de Raisa. Clearly, his son was of the opinion, well, it's a Chatzi Shir. It's less than the Kezias. That's the Shir of Kezias. So Marbar of Ashi was of the opinion that Chatzi Shir is only Asim de Rabbanan. Again, this goes way beyond the piece of Chaylev falling into a pot of meat. This is true for half a kezias of nevela. This is probably true for half a kezias of chametz. This may be true for a pachas because she are in Yom Kippur. This is a global question that Marbar of Ashi seemed to be siding with the view that chatzi shir is only also midirabanan. And since chatzi shir is only also midirabanan, therefore he had another chiddush that for yisur midirabanan you need not be mishar b'shishim. You don't need the full 60 times. 30 times is good enough. So those were the two chidushim of Marbar of Ashi. Number one, we're dealing with a derabbanan here, even though chaylev is a deraisa, but it's chatzi shir. And number two, yisurim derabbanan don't require the full-fledged shir of shishim. So his father criticized him on both of those points. So first, Rav Ashi said to him, haven't I taught you before that even yisurim derabbanan requires shishim? And the second point that his father critiqued him on, hamar Rabbi Yochanan chatzi shir, also ben Torah. Hasn't Rabbi Yochanan already taught us that chatzi shir is in fact also ben Torah? Now it's true that one is not chay of a punishment for eating chatzi shir. One eats chatzi shir of chaylev, one is not chay of kares, or if one eats chatzi shir of nevela, one is not chay of malkos. But to say that it's only derabbanan is not correct. It's still also ben Torah. What did Marbar of Ashi think? Well, he held against Rabbi Yochanan. He held like Rish Lachish. It was a machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lachish hundreds of years earlier. Marbar of Ashi was the very, very end of the Gemara. Rav Ashi was the basic, almost final step in the Gemara. The Gemara says in the seventh paragraph of Bava Tzia that Ravina and Rav Ashi, so far raw, they were the ones who put together the final touches on the Gemara. And the Rambam adds on that them and their generation, and their Talmidim, you know, that basic, it wasn't like one person who put the final stamp on it. It was that whole generation that closed off the Gemara. So Marbar of Ashi was his sons. You talk about the very, very end of the period of the Amoraim. So the Marbar of Ashi and his father are referencing back on Machlokes that had taken place in Eretz Yisrael hundreds of years earlier between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. And Marbar of Ashi was clearly assuming Chatzi Shir is only also mid the Rabbanon, and therefore you could have a lower level Shia of only 30. And his father said it's not true. Both points are not true. It's Deraisa. Rabbi Yochanan is correct. And even if it will be Drabbanu, it still requires Shishim, because it's Tazalzel, Bishira Drabbanu. So when all the dust settles, we paskin like Rav Ashi, we paskin like the conclusion of this Gemara, as well as Rabbi Yochanan. We have a general rule, when you have a Machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish, there were three exceptions that we follow Rish Lakish, but by and large we follow Rabbi Yochanan, this is one of them. We paskin that Chatashir is in fact also in the Torah. How do you know that Chatashir is also in the Torah? What's the source of Chatashir also in the Torah? So this is a little bit less clear, so we have to go to the second of the Marvakomos, is where the sugi really begins. It's a sugi Masechas Yuman Daf Ayin Dalam and Aleph. Gufa. Chatashir, what is the status of a person who eats less than the shir? Rashi is quick to point out, when the Gemara says Chatashir, it doesn't mean literally half. It can mean two-thirds, it can mean a quarter, it can mean a drop, it can mean a morsel of food. Chatashir just means less than the shear of kezayis. So Chatashir, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asa Ben HaTorah. Rabbi Yochanan says Chatashir is Asa Ben HaTorah. Reish Lakish Amar Mutter Ben HaTorah. Reish Lakish says, no, it's Mutter Ben HaTorah. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asa Ben HaTorah. Kevin Dechazilitz Terufei, Isura Ka'ochil. Rabbi Yochanan says, how can you tell me that Chatashir is only Asa Ben HaTorah? If the bottom line is, if I take a half of kezayis and I eat it, and then I eat another half of kezayis, a minute later, the two halves are mitzarif together. We have a halacha of Moshe Mesinai, that in order to be chayav malchus, or in order to be chayav kares, or any onesh, vis-a-vis achila, you have to eat a kezayis, that's for sure. And the kezayis has to be what's called b'chdei achilas pras. You don't have to gulp down the kezayis at one shot. If you eat it within the normal range of eating something, that's mitzaref. Those two parts of the food add up together. So if a person takes a bite of chazer, then takes a break for a minute, then has another bite, takes another break, and over the course of X amount of time, k'dei achilas pras, he consumed the kezayis of chazer, he's chayav malchus. We have that parallel halacha l'Moshe Mesinai by mitzvah achilas as well. The Gemara says in the end of Maseches Pesachim, just as by Isurim we have a halacha that if you eat something with little small intervals, it adds up. So too by the mitzvah achilas matzah, it also adds up. There is no requirement to gulp down the whole kezayis matzah at one shot. You eat a little bit of matzah, then you break for a second. You know what? You shouldn't break for too long. The guy's going to eat a piece of matzah, then start schmoozing, start singing another song, and then he's going to have another piece. Then he says, Nosh Torah, but if he takes him an hour to eat the matzah, then he's not going to be yotzei. So he has to have the kezayis, bechdei achilas pras. There's no need to sit there with a stopwatch to make sure he really... Some people, they have very, very large kezayisim. They take these tremendous kezayisim, 10 times the size of what a kezayis is, and they're very, very machmer on the shear of kedei achilas pras. There are different opinions in the poskim, whether it's 2 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. There's a whole array of different opinions as to how much it is. So some people take the biggest chumrah of kezayis and the biggest chumrah of kedei achilas pras. So they're gulping down three matzahs within the span of 30 seconds. So that's clearly not required in the halacha, because the shear of kedei achilas pras is a ratio. It's the amount of time to eat X amount of kezayisim. You have to eat a kezayis within the time that you can eat X amount of kezayisim. So if the sheer kezayis grows, then the kedei achilas pras grows with it. So if you think that a kezayis is six hand matzahs, so then your kedei achilas pras has got to be an hour and a half. If you think that a kezayis is something close to more reality is, so then your kedei achilas pras is going to go down also. But to take the biggest kezayis for the small kedei achilas pras is nonsense. It doesn't make any sense. The two contradict one another. But getting back to the story. So Rabbi Yochanan says, I'll prove to you that Chatashir is also in the Torah, because since I eat a little bit, and then I eat a little more, and if I finally eat them up, I violated in this agreement of Chayav Karis, Chayav Malchus, whatever it is, so then obviously every drop along the way was a problem. If every drop along the way was mutam in a Torah, so how did Hocus Pocus become also deraisa? Obviously every bite is considered to be something of significance. That's what's called Chazilitz Terufei. So if you would just stop the Gemara at this point, and I would ask you, what's the source for Rabbi Yochanan, the Chatashir also in a Torah? The answer would be, it's a Svara. I don't need a pasuk. It's a svara. Chazal, it's the rufe. Since the chazizayis will add up to be a kezayis a little bit later, that shows that it's an issa deraisa.
What happened to Tam Ki'ikar?
Oh, well, Tam Ki'ikar tells me when I'm dealing with the Dover HaMutter, and now I have a taste of treifas in the Dover HaMutter, is the Dover HaMutter become osur or not? But here I'm eating Dover osur.
No, it fell into the meat. Didn't it?
Which you get that
taste throughout the meat?
Back in the first case. Well, that's a question whether it's min b'mina, min b'sheina mina, but yeah, it did spread, but we had shloshim or shishim to b'mavatle it. So remember the Gemara said that
even if less than a kezayis, less than half a kezayis falls into, as long as the tam permeates throughout, I'm not eating a, I don't have to eat a kazayis of the isur. Mm. I have to eat a kazayis of the tafshil, of the whole thing.
You're taking a very, very controversial stand on a machlekes of Rabbeinu Tam and other Rishonim. You're assuming like Rabbeinu Tam. Many Rabbeinu Rishonim argue with that. We're going to have to put that on hold until we get to Tam Kikar. But you're assuming, in the lumpness of your question, you're assuming a bombshell like Shittas Rabbeinu Tam. But we're going to see as we go on. That's very, very questionable whether that's true.
Okay.
So back to that story. Right. So Rabbi Yochanan holds that Chatzis Shias Osim in the Torah, that's a Pasha de Svara. And how did Rish Lakish respond to the Svara? So the Gemara continues. Rish Lakish Amar Mutta Ben HaTorah, Achila Rachman of Aleika. That's not called Achila. The Halacha Moshe Mizrei defines Achila as being Kezayas, and I don't buy into that Svara of Chazlot Terufei. So if we would stop the Gemara at this point, we'd say, what's the Nekudas of Machlekes? What's the point of contention between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish? It's simply Machlekes and Svaras. Rabbi Yochanan accepted the Svara, Chazlot Terufei, and Rish Lakish denied it. Why did Rabbi Yochanan accept it? Why did Rish Lakish deny it? So you have to look at to the world of Svaras to figure out, is it a compelling Svara? Not a compelling Svara, but it doesn't seem to be anything more than just Svaras. But now all of a sudden the sukkah changes radically. The Gemara continues in the second line, Mamakomas, and the third line, Eis Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says, I'm going to prove to you that I'm correct. Ein li ela kol sheyeshna ba'onesh yeshna bi'azhara. The Torah says that you're not allowed to eat chaylev, and then the Torah says that if you eat the prohibited fats, so then you're going to be chayef karis. So the brisa that Rabbi Yochanan quotes is, I would have thought that only something that is subject to the onish of karis is asur, kosher yeshna ba'onish yeshna be'azara. Only if you chayef karis for it would it be asur in the first place. Says Rabbi Yochanan, the name of the brisa, I'm going to give you two examples of quote-unquote chaylev that you are not chayef karis on. And what do you think about those chaylevs? Can you eat them or not? So here are the two examples of chaylev that you're not chayev karis for, each one for a different technical reason. Koi v'chatzi shiur. So we'll talk about quickly about the first one, which is not really our topic, but we need it for the flow of the braisa. A koi. So even the word koi itself is a three-way machlokes and how to pronounce it. Some yeshivas, they say koi, some they say kui, some they say kvi. My guess is as good as yours as to what is the correct pronunciation of that word. I don't know what the official art scroll pronunciation is, but I grew up with the word koi, so we'll call it a koi. So it's like yush and yeush, depending on which part of Europe you come from. So koi is an animal that we're not sure whether it is halachically a behema or whether it's halachically a chaya. We know that all animals are divided into two categories. Even the kosher animals are further divided into two categories. There are the quote-unquote domesticated animals, which are basically only three, which is a shor, a seh, and an aes, either an ox from the ox-cow family, or from the sheep family, or from the goat family. Those are the three kosher domesticated animals. And then there are seven kosher, in a sense, wild animals. The ayal, tzvi, v'yachmor, kobi, tova, zomer. Those are the antelopes and the deer and the giraffes and whatever other animals fall into those categories of the seven kosher chayos. And then there's something that we're not quite sure. You have this animal called the koi that we're not quite sure, is this closer to a behema or closer to a chaya? Why are we so confused what it is? So there's actually a machlokes. Where this animal even came from? Is this animal a hybrid? Is this animal like kelayim that was mated between chayas and behemas? Or is this one called the bear between atzma? This is just a different species that the Bajram creates. I'm not even exactly sure. If you saw a koi, you wouldn't even be sure what it was. You're not even sure that you're even looking at a koi. So whatever it is, lu yitzu, that we have this animal that's a koi, we're not sure whether it's a behema or a chaya. But everyone agrees it's kosher. There wasn't the question that it's kosher. It has split hooves and it chooses its God. So it has the siman of kosher. It's bane if it's a chaya, bane if it's a behema. So who cares whether it's a chaya or a behema? So there are two important areas of halacha where chaya and behemas part ways. One is vis-a-vis chaylev, that the prohibited fat only applies to behemoths, to shor, seh, and aes. One is allowed to shech the deer and eat all the intestinal fat, all the kidney, everything is het de gomer, not necessarily the rice, everything is mutl gamre, to eat the chaylev of a chaya. And then there's another area that they part ways, that a chaya requires kisi adam. When you shech the deer, so you have to cover the blood like an oaf, whereas if you shech the behemoth, there's no mitzvah of kisi adam. So the Gemara says that we threw our hands up and we're not sure whether this koi is a behemah or a chayah for whatever reason, and therefore we're machmer at both ends. So next time you shech the koi, you have to do kisi adam a bit without a bracha, and if you want to eat the fat, then you can't eat the fat. You have to refrain from eating the fat. It's a suffix, a koris, maybe a lachnitz, a behemah. So the Braisa says that bottom line is, if a person ate the chaylev of a koi, we can't say it's chayev koris. We don't know. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. So we're not going to make a bigger korban chatos because maybe what he ate was at the gomor. So I would think if it's not chayav kares, therefore it's mutter to eat. That's the theme of this brayso. The brayso is highlighting examples of fat that lemaisa you're not chayav kares for, but you're not allowed to eat anyway. So one example is the koi, and now the example closer to home is the chatzi shir. If a person eats a half of a kezayis of chaylev, so he is for sure not chayav kares. That's a halacha moshe mesinai. I would have thought hol the ena ba'onesh yochel ena be'azhara. I would have thought that if you're not chayav kares for it, so it's mutal v'gamrei, tamad loymer, kol chaylev, comes the Torah and says, no, you're not allowed to eat all chaylev, and the special drusha, this extra word kol, is l'rabos, so it's coming to add even these types of chaylev. So that's where the brayse ends, that's where Rabbi Yochanan's proof against Rish Lakish ends. So Rabbi Yochanan turns to his colleague, Rish Lakish, and says, how can you tell me a story that chatzi shir is mutam in the Torah? It's only also in the Rabbanon. You're against the brayse, you're against the posuk in the Torah's Konim. The posuk says kol, and the tradition tells us that kol is l'rabos chatzi shir. It's a raya brewer that it's also min haTorah, to which Rish Lakish responded, "But the rabban mikros machtem yama." No, it's only a nisa de rabbanon, and the pasuk is only an asmachta. Yeah, we've seen this many times in sugyas. The Gemara will quote a din de rabbanon and will say this pasuk serves as a quote unquote source for this halacha. So there are different opinions in the Rishonim. What do we mean when we say that this pasuk is a hint, is an asmachta? So the Rambam seems to say it's just a way to remember. It means how are you going to remember the din de rabbanon? When your mavis said to Pasha Tzav and you get to the pasuk Kol Chaylev, ooh, that's going to remind me there's an Issa Rabbanan out to Kol Chatzi Shir. That's what the Rambam seems to say. And the Ritva says that's absolutely wrong. That's not what Asmachta means. The Ritva in Rosh Hashanah explains Asmachta means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really doesn't want you to eat Chatzi Shir also. But he didn't tell it to you, but there is Tzivoy. He didn't command you, according to Rish Lakish, not to eat a Chatzi Shir. He was just meramis to you. He dropped a hint that it's a good thing to do. Don't get yourself into the habit of eating 3/4 of a kezayis of a chaylev. It's not an issa deraisa, but it's not the rotzon of the Torah either. And therefore, it's an asmachta bialma. It's only a derabanan. It's only awesome a derabanan, but there is a smach for it. There is a remes for it in the Torah itself. So no matter how you slice it, it's only a derabanan. Bottom line, according to Rish Lakish, it's a derabanan. So now, if we just sum up the last two lines of the Gemara, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked you 5 minutes ago. What's the point of contention? What's the nekudas of machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish? So 2 minutes ago, you all told me, the Gemara told us, that's based on a svara. Do you accept the svara of Chazalitz Terufei? Or do you deny the svara of Chazalitz Terufei? And now the Gemara just changed its tune. Now the Gemara is quoting Psukim. Rabbi Yochanan says it's based on a pasuk. Rish Lakish says, nah, that's not what the pasuk means. Now it's a different machlokes. So what is the machlokes? What is the nekudas machlokes? Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish definitely had this machlokes. It's the same machlokes that resurfaced between Rav Ashi and Ma'ariv Rav Ashi 300 years later in Bavel. It had nafkaminas ladina for us in terms of Hilchos Tarovas. That's how we got into the sugya in the first place. And we have no idea what the point of machlokes was. What are they arguing about? Are they arguing about in the world of svaras? That's what the Gemara sounded like. Or are they arguing in the world of psukim? That's what the Gemara sounds like at the end. So what is the machlekes all about? So, oh yeah, you're coming to the right, but that's going to be the next step. That's going to be part of the answer. Your kash is going to be part of the answer. So comes Tosfos in Maseches Yuma and throws the hands up and says, you know, this is a good kasha. You read the Gemara. The Gemara is a contradiction within itself. So comes Tosfos in the third of the Mamakomos and poses this question and says, tamely, a milo ka'amar mitayma de besomach, the chol chaylev, the rabbis chatzishir. How come Rabbi Yochanan, when he starts off by saying, my time with Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara starts telling a story about a svara, what does the Gemara say straight out? It's a pasuk. Taha Rabbi Yochanan yadalai b'raisa. Rabbi Yochanan knew this b'raisa. Taha b'samach ha-mosvina. Rabbi Yochanan's the one who brought the b'raisa to the Beis Medrash to attack Rish Lakish. Of course Rabbi Yochanan knew what the b'raisa said. Of course he knew that there's a source in a pasuk of kol chaylev. So why did Rabbi Yochanan say this svara? V'yei shlomar, says Tosfos, Rabbi Yochanan needed the reason for the following. If it would have just been the phrase kol chaylev, I could have explained away the pasuk differently. I would have said mistakenly, let's not forget, there were two things that were learned out for the word kol. One was to tell me the chaylev of a koi, and one was to tell me chaylev of chatzishir. So I would have thought that maybe the word kol is only there for the koi purposes, And in fact, v'chatzishir midrabbanon v'yas b'chor kra, means even Rabbi Yochanan would have agreed that the chatzishir part of the brayso would have only been in asmachta. Aval hashta dekamat time dechazat terufei. Now that I realize that there's a gevaldik svar, a great logical reason of chazat terufei that Rabbi Yochanan was mechadish, svaruhu mehaytaima didrashi gemuri lechatzishir. The svara enables me to darshan the pasuk properly. So this is a whole new ball game here, that we usually think the source for something is either one or the other. Tell me the source for this din deraisa, either it's a pasuk or it's a svara. So comes to us and says, not always. Sometimes you can have a din, and we're not sure, is this really the right drasha or not? We have this word kol, but it doesn't say in the Chumash explicitly, kol means chatzishir. Kol is a very vague term. Kol is an inclusive term. All kinds of chaylev are asur. What are all kinds of chaylev? So maybe it refers to koi, maybe it refers to chatzishir, maybe it refers to both, maybe it refers to other things. We're not really sure what to do with this word. We know the word's extra, we know the word's a drasha. There's some kind of a din deraisa that's being presented to us, but we're not quite sure what to make of it. So now we have to use our common sense, we have to use logic to figure out which din makes sense to be included in kol. So Rabbi Yochanan said, let me explain to you, I'm going to make you a case why chatzishir makes sense. Because after all, there is a svar v'chazlet terufei. Now clearly the svar v'chazlet terufei is not compelling enough on its own 2 feet. If a svar is really, really good, then I don't even need a pasuk. So here I have almost like a merging, a mixing together between two different midah shatar and reshes behem. On the one hand, I have svaras. Svaras usually can create a din deraisa, but not always. I have a drush of kol. Kol could usually create a din deraisa, but not always. It's because the svar is so compelling that it's compelling enough to make me go back to the drawing board and darshan the word kol, l'rabos chatzishir. So when all the dust settles, if I would ask you, tachlis, bottom line, what's the source for Yochanan chatzishir asur ben Torah? You would have to say it's kol. You have to say it's the pasuk. The only thing is, I wouldn't have known the pasuk. I wouldn't have darshan the pasuk correctly if not for the compelling svara of chazetz terufei. So when all the dust settles, it's really a pasuk. It's really a source in the Torah Shemuksav to which Rish Lakish disagrees. Rish Lakish says it's a smach tabiyama. That's not what the Torah means altogether. But unlike Tosfos, the Ran takes a different approach to this sugya. Comes the Ran in the fourth of the Ramakovas, the Ran of Maseches Shavuos, where the Ran poses the exact same question as Tosfos. The Alpha Gav, the Hossa Biyuma, Meribuya, the Kol Chayla of Maitzina Chatzishir, Havada Yahu Ribuya, Loksiv Elagabe Chaylev. So says Tosfos, says the Ran, wait a second. Kol Chaylev is a great pasuk. It stands on its own 2 feet. It's a Gvaldik Adrasha. I would have figured it out in a minute. Kol Chaylev means the Rabbis Chatzishir. The only problem is, it was only true by Chaylev. Maybe it's a limited din, limited in scope. It's what we call in Halacha din prati. Maybe it's a special exercise accosted by Chaylev. Chatzishir of Chaylev is asar. How in the world do you know to extend this to Nevelis, to Chometz, to Yom Kippur, to all other Isurim? So if Yafilu Hachi says the Ran, Yafidim in Alachol Isurim, but we have a right, Chazal had the right, Rabbi Yochanan did have a right to extend it to other Isurim. Mishum de Pshitalon, to lo Asher Rachamana, El Mishum de Chazlitz Terufei. Says the Ran, if there wouldn't have been any reason to this halacha, if the Torah would have just thrown at me a curveball and saying, by the way, chatzishir asur ben Torah, and I would have sat there scratching my head and figured out why, and I would have said, it's like paraduma. It's a chayk, it's a gezeras hakasa, don't ask any kashas. So whenever you're dealing with gezeras hakasa's chukim, don't ask any kashas, we have a rule, ein lecha bala chedusha. We keep the halacha as limited in scope as possible. If you don't understand something, then it's very hard to extrapolate to other scenarios. So if chatzishir would have been a gezeras hakasa, doesn't make any sense to us logically, therefore we would have said, we accept it. We're makabel. Rosh Hashem said it, we accept it. But we're not going to take it and run with it and plug it into Nevelus, Trefus, Bas Mechalov, Yom Kippur, etc. We would have said it's a very, very localized din, din prati. But when the Torah says Kol Chaylev, we ask ourselves, wait a second, we know why the Torah said that. That's not such a great chiddush. It makes a lot of sense. If it makes a lot of sense, it's logical, chazat terufei, then let's go with it and carry it over to other areas of halacha as well. So when all the dust settles, both Taitz and the Ran agree, there is almost like a mixing together of different midos, different ways of getting to halacha. You can either derive halacha based on pure svara. You can derive a halacha based on a pasuk, or sometimes you have a little bit of a mixture between the two. So both Tosfos and the Ran are explaining that Chazal seem to be mixing the two. According to Tosfos, the purpose of the svara is to teach me how to dash in the pasuk, because I never would have figured out the pasuk on my own. According to the Ran, the purpose of the svara is not to teach me to dash in the pasuk, but to explain to me what the nature of that drush is. Is that drush in the pasuk a din prati, or is it a din klali? When all the dust settles, both Tosfos and the Ran all agree within Rabbi Yochanan, the bottom line is chatzi shirasa ben Torah. That's not negotiable. It's negotiable if your name is Rish Lakish. It's negotiable if you're Ma'ab Rav Ashi. But if you're Yochanan Rav Ashi and the rest of us for the last 1,500 years, so chatzi shirasa ben Torah, that's chok lo yavor. How we got there is a little bit questionable, but we got there. The bottom line is we're here, and we've arrived in the beginning of the sugi of chatzi shirasa ben Torah. However, we now have to pose really the lumdisha question that's going to permeate the entire sugya. And that is, we're almost being presented two contradictory halachas. On the one hand, we're convinced, Nimdu v'gomel, Rabbi Yochanan, and Ravashi, chatzishir asim ben Torah. So if I go ahead and I eat the chatzishir of chelev, velus, trefus, basmachot, whatever it is, I'm in violation of an issa d'araisa. There's no question about that. On the other hand, we have a halacha Moshe b'Sinai that's, in a sense, staring us in the face. We have a tradition, the Gemara says, shiurin halacha Moshe b'Sinai. The Gemara says that there are whole different areas of halachas that were pure halacha Moshe b'Sinai. How do you know a kezai is? How do you know a kebetza? How do you know the aram is? How do you know the three tva? Where do all of these numbers come from? Are these just arbitrary numbers? So much of halacha revolves around shiurim. So the Gemara says, shiurin halacha Moshe b'Sinai. So comes halacha Moshe b'Sinai and tells us that the word achila means a kezayis. So wait a second, I don't understand. Did I eat something treif or not? Did I eat chametz? Did I eat chelev? Did I eat nevel? Did I eat bas b'chalav? What's the answer to that question? So on the one hand, we're screaming at you and saying, chatzis shiras in the Torah, you ate it. On the other hand, the halacha Moshe b'Sinai is putting its arm around you and saying, don't worry, no malchus, no kares. You know why? Because you didn't eat it. Because tam achila b'kezayis. So what is the definition of achila? If I'd open up a halachapedia book, and I'd want to know, tell me, Rabbi, define the word achila. Does achila mean taking a small morsel, a small bite of food? Is that called achila? So chatzis shiras ben Torah seems to be saying that. But on the other hand, at the same time, the halacha Moshe b'Sinai is saying, no, that less than a shiur, you're not chayev because you didn't eat chelev. So what is it? Which is the rule, which is exceptional? How can these two halachas live together? How can it be that vis-a-vis onshin, you in fact didn't do a ma'isechila, yet vis-a-vis chatzis shiras ben Torah, you did do a ma'isechila? Which one is it? So it's going to be that tightrope to walk that's going to become a major, major machlekes in the Rishonim with some very, a lot of lumdas as to how to define exactly what achila ultimately means, because we are getting contradictory messages. So yes, we pass in chatzis shiras ben Torah, and yes, we had a little bit of a rough time to find the source, and we bottom line boiled down to a pasuk and a svara. It tells them around, give you a little bit of different presentations how the two coincide together. But once this halacha has been established for us, we're still scratching our head and asking ourselves, well, wait a second, how does this halacha fit together with the halacha Moshe b'Sinai that we know exists? Hopefully, that's from tomorrow. We'll try to begin to put the pieces of this part of the puzzle together.